Good evening, dear viewers. It's George from Ireland. So glad to see you logging on. Anyway, oh yeah, you might notice I've got way less hair than before, but I'm not bald, honestly. So talking about Russia's reaction to what rebels and other Iranian-backed militant groups in the Middle East over the past couple of weeks. Now, there have been a howls of outrage from Moscow, but tacitly, the Russian government approves of all this. They've probably not even said so behind the scenes, but you can read the tea leaves. So the Houthi militia, this Shia group based in Yemen, have been attacking commercial shipping in the Red Sea, passing the Bab al-Mandab. That place was only 35 miles wide, a checkpoint. Meant to be ships which are linked to the United States, the UK, Israel, and so on. But actually, the Russian government wants the Houthis to stop doing this because this is an arterial route for trade. Obviously, oil and gas exports are crucial to the Russian economy, earning something like 50% of their GDP. And then there are other things like coal or other minerals that Russia exports. So Dmitry Peskov is Putin's spokesman, and he said that these attacks were illegitimate. Likewise, the Speaker of the State Duma, Vyacheslav Volodin, he said that Joe Biden was a war criminal and so on. So the Russian Foreign Ministry has said that the United Nations Security Council must hold an emergency meeting to discuss the issue because they're really doing anything to just exploit the situation to say, look at the Yankees, they're just crazy, they're lashing out, they're warmongers and so on, they're breaking international law, they're destabilizing the world. Remember, stability is Putin's watchword, a bit like stability by starting this illegal war of aggression against Ukraine, or stability by assassinating people in the United Kingdom, or stability by illegally occupying Moldova and obviously starting that civil war in the 90s, or stability like invading Georgia, or like illegally occupying Abkhazia, which is part of Georgia, or illegally occupying South Ossetia as part of Georgia. Now, other countries, including the United States, do wrong as well and also break international law and do destabilize the world sometimes. But I'm just going to say that in the case of Russia, there's really the pot calling the kettle black. So the Houthis are considered an illegal group by just about every government in the world. So obviously you can't put that on a par with attacking a sovereign state. Having said that, many Yemenis, including the Yemeni government, still disapprove of these airstrikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. So some Russian politicians have said, well, in fact, the Red Sea being unsafe redounds to Russia's advantage because Russia's rivals can't import export so much through that route. They're going to be feeling the economic pain. And any anti-Western rhetoric, Russia thinks it plays well with the global south. Many countries in Latin America, across Africa, much of South Asia, Southeast Asia, will be applauding this, saying, yeah, let's just give one in the eye to Whitey because they're so evil. But Russia says, well, look, we trade through the Far East. China's been their largest trade partner for about 10 years. India's not far behind. But anyway, nevertheless, 10% of Russia's exports go through the Suez Canal. But they obviously, you can go a long way around Africa. But it's going to take longer, cost you more in paying the crew and obviously just your fuel costs. And you could just export fewer items because, your ship's going to have to just take longer journeys. There are fewer runs a ship can make in a year. But if you're going that much longer route. So Putin says, well, look at the Northern Sea Route, which is so safe, or much of which is in Russian territorial water, from Asia to the north of Russia in that Arctic Ocean around to Europe. And because of global warming, it's navigable for more and more of the year. And Russia's launched yet another nuclear-powered icebreaker to smash through it. But I think even then it's not navigable in the bleak midwinter. So there's a north-south transport corridor, which Russia is using to link the Indian Ocean through Iran, as in to ship things across the Caspian Sea, possibly through Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan to Iran and out that way. So this is meant to be Russia's answer so that the Suez Canal doesn't matter so much. So anyway, it likes to see that the Bab al-Mandab attack as yet more proof that America's time in the sun is drawing to a close. I mean, the decline of America as the global hegemon is much exaggerated. People have been saying this for 20 years. And it is true that the US is less relatively strong than it used to be. But it's often overstated how much of a declension there's really been. But despite all this kerfuffle, Russia is not actually trying to thwart United States from striking at Houthi and other pro-Iranian militias in the Middle East, because Russia wants trade to be going through the Red Sea as normal. It was actually the 18th of December last year, the United States assembled a coalition to strike the Houthis. And that was before these strikes on merchant shipping, and that coalition, the Willing, had already sunk three Houthi craft and shot down lots of drones and so on. So on the 11th of January, after the attacks on the merchant ships, the United States proposed UN Security Council Resolution 2722, and that would be the legal grounding for these airstrikes on Houthi targets. Now, Russia could have vetoed the resolution, but didn't. Therefore, it passed. So if Russia really wanted to prevent it, it could have done so. Would the United States have gone ahead without a UN Security resolution? Probably not under Biden. And someone like Trump, they would have done anyway. So the United Kingdom, the United States say, well, this is international law. We're legally authorized to do so. And the very day after that was passed, they went ahead with these strikes. But anyway, Russia has since said, well, that resolution, it didn't actually order you to take this military action. But I mean, surely Moscow knew what was going to follow. So they're just sort of playing both sides of the street. Obviously, they want to curry favor with Iran, which is an ally of theirs, which voted for the Russian position on the Ukraine war in the United Nations, and obviously supplying Russia militarily and teaching them how to evade sanctions, because the Iranians have been under sanctions for about 20 years with a brief hiatus at the end of the Obama administration and the first year of Trump. So they are very adept at circumventing sanctions. Despite that, Russia still castigated the Houthis, saying that there ought to be a free and secure maritime transit in the region, and saying that these attacks on merchant ships are illegal and immoral, and called upon the Houthis to desist from this. What's happening in the Red Sea, that's obviously very bad news for Egypt. They make money from transit fees through the Suez Canal, and Egypt's got a very cordial relationship with Moscow, buys quite a lot of the military hardware, and is actually trying to sell some stuff back to Russia, but keep it secret, and that got exposed last year. The Northern Sea route, as obviously, is not a viable alternative. Yes, you can ship some things for a part of the year, but it's just nothing like as useful as Suez. It might one day become as useful as Suez, but I think that's decades off. Likewise, the North-South Transit Corridor is really nascent. Russia's biggest oil export market is India, and most of that goes through the Suez Canal. That's 3 million barrels of oil a day. That's about 33% of Russia's oil exports. And Indian oil refineries, some have turned into aviation fuel, has come out. Some are selling something to the United Kingdom, which is actually not a legal breach of sanctions for the UK, but something the UK should tighten up, that loophole in the law. So if the Suez Canal were an unsafe route for Russia, it'd have to send things around the Cape of Good Hope. And because it just simply doesn't have enough tankers to deliver sufficient oil to all its customers. Then they'd lose out on desperately needed revenues. Now, the Houthis have not attacked any Russian shipping. That's presumably deliberate. It's just possible Russia's even sort of telling the Houthis, these are our ships, these are their passing, so just make sure you don't strike them. But the Houthis might accidentally strike one. The other things, even if they don't hit a Russian ship, if another one blows up, that could impact a Russian ship nearby. Something could sink in a shallow area of the sea. Anything, there could be an oil slick, which could negatively affect Russian trade. So even by accident, this could impact Russia. So that's why they would really like the situation to calm down. But they can't say anything which would upset their Iranian friends. So we can just read between the lines. On the 14th of January, the Houthis, they did strike a ship which was carrying Russian oil, but it wasn't actually Russian registered. So the Houthis, I mean, are not really up to date on where things are coming from. And their argument that they're at least attacking pro-Israeli targets, I think, is rather specious. It's just trade in general, thinking that mostly hits the West. So yeah, Russia would really like to de-escalate the situation, but they're quite happy that the United States has got to deal with it because they think it takes their eye off the ball with regard to Ukraine. But anyway, expect to see more of this opportunistic, cynical rhetoric coming out from the Kremlin about this issue. Thank you so much for watching my channel. So please subscribe to me on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.